Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. The name above all names, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless this time together as we just feast on your word, Lord. Use me as a vessel of honor that I would proclaim your words, not my own, Lord. Holy Spirit, work through me. Work on the hearts to receive that which you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith, and it's through Jesus Christ alone. No other way. So your heart and your soul should say, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. And in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. We're here. We're here. This past week, our Senate could not vote to pass a bill on a partial abortion where a baby is born that was supposed to be aborted, and our Congress could not vote to pass a law to say that that child that was born should deserve care. Amen. Instead, it's just to terminate. How are we here? We're here because deception is rampant. Lawlessness has grown. We are here, folks. Evil is growing, but light will continue to grow. The separation from the wheat and chaff. That's right. How can one justify that? Up to that point, it's even those who were pro-choice said, like, it's a fetus until it's born. Which we don't believe that, but I'm just saying. But now you're talking about a born baby. Murdered.
Amen.
It is. Murder.
Blood on our hands.
You don't think it's God will look down and just say, no more? Is there not 10 righteous? We saw what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Where's the church? You know, the media did not do anything to report on that bill, if you did not know that. They did nothing to bring that to the light. It's just scathed under. The governor of this state wants to make this the abortion capital in the United States. Come on in, fly in, get your abortion and leave. Do you realize how close we are to God returning, sending his son? He just will look and say, I can't deal with it anymore. Which leads us to 2 Peter 3. Because deception is in the church as well. It's been there since the time that Peter wrote this epistle, and he warns us that in the last days it'll be worse. And so, 2 Peter chapter 3, we just went through all of chapter 2, but 2 Peter chapter 3, just verses 1 and 2. And that's where I said God is so faithful, because I said, what is the message? And it's the same message you've heard. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by what? Way of reminder. I'm reminding you again that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He just finished describing the characteristics of the false teachers all throughout chapter 2 in the church. Yet he's not done. He's not done. He's reminding us and the beloved one more time in his final chapter as he signs off. And he goes to have his head, he goes to be crucified upside down, just as the Lord told us. Told him. And he stirs up our mind. Remember the prophets of old. Remember what the Lord commanded. How about his word? How about his commandments? Obeying his word. We saw that in 2 Peter chapter 2:21 that false teachers forsake the right way and turn from the holy commandment. Let's look at what the prophet said. Listen, Jeremiah 23, 16 through 17. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. He's talking about false prophets right here. That whole chapter is on it. I recommend you read Jeremiah 23. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. What? Pursue life. Pursue your own truth. No evil will come upon you. Romans 16, 17 through 20 says, Paul says, I urge you, brethren, I urge you, note those who cause divisions. Note means mark them. Mark them. You're gonna see the markings when you watch that video later today. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Contrary. Because they're preaching another doctrine. And the end time says that they will not endure sound doctrine, having itching ears to pursue myths and fables and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Yeah. I never knew you. That's what Jesus says. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do this in your name? I never knew you. So they don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words, in flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. What a promise! He overcame. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We need more grace. We need His grace to stand today.
Amen.
Mark the false teachers. Mark them. They do not serve up our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve only their own desires, guys. They puff up your pride to get you to do the same. Pursue your own will, not God's. And so this message needs to be reminded to you to get deep into your hearts so that you will recall this message every day. When you hear something that's being taught that does not line up with the Word of God, you check it. There are false teachers who want what you have. They want what you have. They desire your things, and Satan works through them, and Satan desires your soul. He desires your soul. And they are the spirit of Antichrist working to lead you and to lead many to fall away. And the deception is here, and it's ever increasing. It's ever increasing. the New Age movement into the church, to acceptable truth. So I told you to read Jude. Let's read Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, which would make him half-brother Jesus, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Are you preserved?
Yes.
Are you preserved? May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Sounds a lot like 2 Peter, doesn't it? Chapter 2. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Be diligent about your faith, folks, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the grace of God is a license to sin. No repentance. You have a license to sin. That is what some gospels are being prosecuted. It's a false gospel. It's called the hyper grace movement. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone over straight after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Do you see how this mirrors 2 Peter chapter 2? Mm-hmm. Likewise, also the dreamers defile the flesh. There it is. They reject authority. Peter says they despise authority. Yeah. Remember, that's the spirit of Satan working in ever since the garden to make the choice of what is right and wrong. You could be as God. And speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, they are like what? Brute beasts, right? And in these things they corrupt themselves. They in what things? Their own fleshly desires. Woe to them! When I saw that, I had scripture. I probably won't spend it today, but I thought about Jesus when he goes, "Woe!" You know what I'm talking about? The Matthew, "Woe to you, hypocrites!" Yes, for they have gone in the way of Cain, lost the way, have run greedily for the error of Balaam for profit. We know that, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Let's spend that time. I found an article on Korah. What was the significance of the rebellion of Korah? It's in Numbers 16. We're not going to read through it. I'm going to summarize it like I did with Balaam. The rebellion of Korah demonstrates the grim consequences of usurping the authority of God and those whom he has chosen to be leaders of his people. You see, when I was on the elder board at Westmont, we knew of churches who come in to take over the church, to flush out the leaders, to take over the church for their own desires. So Korah was the oldest son of Izhar, who was the son of Kohath of the tribe of Levi. Korah then was of the same tribe as Moses and Aaron. And he led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, accusing them of exalting themselves above the congregation of the Lord. Korah was not alone in his charge. He actually gathered 250 other men to challenge Moses' authority as well. "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" That's Numbers 16:3. Obviously, Korah thought that he could do a better job leading the people than Moses was doing. But by leading this revolt against God's divinely appointed leaders, Korah was actually revolting against God. Sounds like Satan, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like Satan, doesn't it? Moses proposed a test to prove the source of his authority. Korah and his followers did not pass the test, and God opened the earth and swallowed the rebels, their families, and all their possessions. Furthermore, fire came out from the Lord and consumed the other 250 men who were part of Korah's rebellion. The rest of the Israelites were terrified and they fled. The following day, instead of being convinced that God had vindicated Moses and Aaron, the congregation began complaining that they killed the Lord's people. They were so deceived. They were so deceived. For this act of rebellion, God threatened them to destroy the whole congregation and send a plague among them. However, Moses and Aaron interceded for the rebels and averted a complete catastrophe. In the end, 14,700 Israelites had died because of one man. Do you understand how serious the message is of a false teacher? We're not talking about just like, oh, they're false. No, you're talking about eternity. They are leading thousands astray, if not millions, over centuries. That's why it's so serious. This is not like some light message. Some 1,500 years later, Jude records a strong warning about such men who come into the church as false teachers, arrogating for themselves the authority of God and His Word. The characteristics of false teachers within the church include pride, selfishness, jealousy, greed, lust for power, and disregard for the will of God. Just like Korah, today's false teachers disregard God's plan and are insubordinate to God's appointed authorities. Their end will be the same as Korah's, thus the warning, woe to them. To lead His people, Israel, God had selected men of His own choosing. God had no interest in holding a popularity contest, collecting resumes, or letting someone appoint himself to the position of prophet, priest, or leader. Korah's problem was not that he was unqualified, humanly speaking, for the position, but that he was arrogant, stiff-necked, and self-promoting. Korah, attempting to install himself as a leader, ironically claims that Moses set himself above the Lord's assembly. It's a classic case of the guilty person accusing someone else of his own misdeeds. But God did not call Korah, He called Moses. God calls whom He chooses and equips them for service. God's true leaders, the elders and pastors of the church who shepherd the flock with humility and care, have an accurate understanding of the Scriptures. Such men submit themselves to humble adoration of Christ and His Lordship.
Amen.
They recognize the truth of Jesus' proclamation, I am the way and the truth and the life. There's no other way, folks. There is no other way. And it may sound old that it continuously goes in here, but this confirms why you have to hear it over and over again. The true gospel. No one comes to the Father except through me. Most importantly, true leaders of the church are called by God to their office. False teachers, on the other hand, are wolves in sheep's clothing who choose the fate of Korah over the life of Christ. They choose. They make a choice, right? They've forsaken the right way. Let's continue on in Jude 12. These are spots in your love feasts. When I talk about love feasts, I talk about communion. It's talk about communion. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. When I saw that, I was like, oh, they once had roots. They once had roots, and they forsake the right way. Just further confirmation. Raging waves of sea foaming up in their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints. Jude reminds us of the coming of the Lord. To execute judgment on all. Here it is. To convict all who are ungodly. Among them of their all ungodly deeds which they have committed in a godly way. And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Later on in 2 Peter 3, it's the scoffers. That's the false teachers. They don't talk about coming judgment. That's why we spend so much time on the judgment of God. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. So what did Paul say? Mark them. Mark them. They've been turned over to the reprobates. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. But you, beloved, it's just like Peter. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit and the truth. Walk in the Spirit and the truth. We learned about that last week. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's just like a reminder in 2 Peter 1. Keep growing in the virtues of your faith that will confirm your election. Make sure you are in God's love and not in His judgment. The false teachers turned away. They forsake the right way. No longer looking for God's mercy. They were looking at their own selfish desires. Peter says, on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. It's like, hate the sin, love the sinner. Actually, I'll read it to you in the New Living Translation. I like this. In verse 20, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. What? How do you do it? You pursue, you are diligent about your faith, and you pray through the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Have compassion on them. Pray for them. Pray. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. That's what I'm talking about. You are to love one another. You are commanded to love your brethren. Not just in the church, outside. But you're not supposed to condone the sin. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and bring you with great joy into His glorious presence without a single fault. Hallelujah. All glory to Him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are His before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Warning after warning throughout God's Word. Warning after warning. Google warnings in the Bible and there's a plethora of scriptures. There are going to be false teachers and prophets. This is not just some light, easy message. Again, this is not just a simple warning. This is here, it's happened. And there are millions of people who have fallen away because of it. Led astray by wolves. By wolves. You must be on guard. You must be on guard. You must test the spirits. You must test the fruits. Scripture tells us to do so. 1 John 4:1-6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because, why? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You're going to hear a couple pastors say in the video you watch shortly that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God. You're going to hear that. Twisting of words in Scripture. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. For they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. They talk about the world and pursuing it, and the world hears them. They want to hear that. Feed their flesh. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jesus said, beware of false prophets in Matthew 7:15-20, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And he says, just like John said, test them by the Spirit, right? Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Isn't that like those who hear the word, right? Yet the thorns choke it out. What are the thorns? Are the cares, the things of the world, the riches, the deceitfulness of riches? Chokes it out. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Right? Therefore, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your soul desires to consume you and devour you. And he pours the onslaught of the world at you to entice you. To entice you to turn away, to pursue your own desires. It's at work right now in our generation, my generation and younger. My generation and younger are driven by their emotions and their feelings solely. That to them is their truth. You probably see it. Feelings drive them, not truth. That's right. The world is temporal, folks. And as Carter Conlon said it, we're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic with the things we do here. John, beloved John, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." He who does what? The will of God. Not twist the gospel for your own gain. Not pursue Jesus because, you know, because I can have my best life now and I can have all the riches of the world. Do you know how twisted that is? Jesus didn't come down to die on the cross so that you could drive a Bentley. He came down to die for your sins so that you may be reconciled back to God. That is the sole purpose. There's no health, wealth promise here on earth, but there is a promise of the riches and glory if you abide in his will. Amen. The book of Proverbs, and we're getting close to the end here, but the book of Proverbs compares true wisdom with the corruption of the world, which is noted as the harlot. And I read this thinking of those who know Christ and are his versus false teachers and their followers who have, listen to me, they have prostituted. They have prostituted their souls for the riches of the world. Satan tried to tempt Jesus with the riches of the world, the kingdom. And he said, no, thank you. Temporal things versus denying self and sin, right? Moses, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin, right? He chooses to abstain, right? That hurts sometimes, folks. I mean, in all reality, it hurts making those choices. There's suffering in that. I'm not going to downplay it. There's suffering in that. But the joy that was set before Jesus, there was suffering in the cross. He looked ahead. So you too must look ahead. Look to the joy that's set before you. Look to the end of the line where Jesus is at. So you run your race. And so let's read. I'm going to read Proverbs 7 and 8. The wiles of a harlot is how this is summarized. And the wiles are the tricks of a harlot. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Here's warnings. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Wow, what a right off the get-go. Like, you stand in the word. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's why do you think I'm God is so faithful. I knew it's like, what's the message? Well, you know, you go back and you drive it in. Get this written on your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. They that may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. When you read through this, you'll see the what we just read through about false teacher stuff. So, for at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. A crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious, and her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Seems like that sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Like, oh, yeah. Seeking whom he may devour, right? So she caught him and kissed him. And with an imputed face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. Egypt is a sign of the world, folks. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on an appointed day. What do you think that's referencing? Committed spiritual adultery. I remember my dad talking about, you know, the church being on spiritual birth control, but like just spiritual adultery itself, cheating on who's our husband? Who's our husband, church? Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield, and with her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to slaughter. What? There's the brute beast, right? They just the passion, following that emotion, the feeling. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. And I warn you today, false teachers, you pursue that doctrine, you will fall away, and it will cost you your life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Those who were established in the faith. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Now turn over next chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? You know, the Spirit of God is inside you and it speaks to you. And when you have the opportunity to sin, he's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. You know what I'm talking about. That voice that says, don't go there. You have a way to escape. She takes her stand on the top of a high hill beside the way where the path meets. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination of my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. There's an imagery here of wisdom in Jesus Christ. When you're reading through wisdom, you can see it, and you're going to see it further here. For I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Those who what? Seek me what? Diligently. What did Peter say? Pursue your faith with all diligence. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness, not temporal things, not worldly things. He says it right here, for my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. It's all better than the things, the best the world has to offer doesn't hold a candle to Jesus. Amen. I traverse the ways of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. There it is. That I may fill their treasures, not worldly treasures, eternal treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no foundations abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Just a side note here. All creation. That's, you know, how great is our God? How real is our God? He spoke the world into nothing. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was his daily delight. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. Do you see the difference in the two? Mm-hmm. I want to close with this. And I want to close with A.W. Tozer quote. Amen. To know God is to love him. For God is love and is for that reason the source of all the love there is. He has set as the first of all commandments that we love him with all our hearts. But he knows that the desired love can never originate with us. We love him because he first loved us. Is the scriptural and psychological pattern. We can love him as we ought only as he inflames our minds with holy desire. Wow, I love that. Yet there is also a love of willing as well as of feeling. Though we may not be conscious of any great degree of inward sensation, we may set our wills to love God and the feeling will come of itself. Let us bring ourselves under obedience to his revealed word. And our love for him will grow. How does your love grow? Getting in his word and obeying him. Obedience will strengthen faith. Amen. And faith will increase knowledge. And it is a well-known law of the spiritual life that our love for God will spring up and flourish just as our knowledge of him increases. Amen. What have you been learning about the last year? Mm-hmm. To know him. To know him is to love him, and to know him better is to love him more. He is able to keep you when you actively pursue him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder that stirs up in our mind, Father, that you be glorified this week, Lord Jesus, as we go our separate ways, Lord, that we be about your business, Lord, kingdom business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.